All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the Old Testament book of Micah. Pippi, I told you Isaiah, but I'm going to change the verse, all right? Pippi always wants to know what verse I'm on, so she can have it ready before church starts. And I told her Isaiah, but I need you to go to Micah. While you're turning, Pastor Josh put the red envelopes out on the table out here in the foyer. And I don't know if, did y'all mention it last week? No? Briefly? You did? All right, are you awake? Are you awake? Yeah. Isaiah 1. You got it? All right. What we do with these envelopes is we have you help out with the cost of the missions trip. The kids raise the money, but they don't get it all raised, especially when they take a flight out of the country. It becomes a little difficult to raise that much money, but they raise as much as they can, and then Pastor Josh puts these envelopes out there, and each of the envelopes is marked on the outside with a dollar amount, and usually folks just rush out there to get that one, and the two, and the three. They're gone. I can tell you right now, they're gone. But it goes from 1 to 100. And is that right? How high do they go? 950. What, 950? Good grief. Yeah, I bet they're busting the line to get that one, aren't they? And anyway, there's different dollar amounts, so look before you take one, all right? You may be in for the shock of your life. But if you could stop by and get one and help the kids, this is an exciting adventure for these young people, and they're going to Grenada this year, down with Pastor Michael Lambert, and holding a Bible school, There's a lot of kids that get saved every year, a lot of kids when they go down there. They don't go every year because it is expensive. But if you can help them out with this, I know it'd be a great, great encouragement and great blessing. All right, Micah chapter 7. Are you there? Everybody but Josh, he's in Isaiah. Don't tell him. He'll never know the difference, all right? Micah 7. Did I not tell you what chapter? I'm sorry. All right, chapter 7, last chapter of the book. And we're going to look at verse 18, and 19. All right, look at verse 18. It says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" Now, let me ask you, don't raise your hand. You can say amen right here. How many of you are saved?
Amen.
Right, you've been pardoned of your iniquity. Isn't that a good feeling? All right, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Verse 19, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's pretty good. I don't know about you, but I'm not going down there looking for them. Right? Think about that. It's dark down there, and you don't know what creatures are down there, and you can't breathe down there, and you can't see down there, and the pressure of the water will crush you. So I'm not going down there to look for them. So I'm glad that's where he cast them all. I don't have to worry about it, and neither do you. All right, now, I cannot really say that this is a sermon per se. This is probably more like a Wednesday night Bible study than it is a Sunday night sermon, because I'm going to use a lot of the scriptures to make just one point. I want to make just one point. And I'm going to use this 18th and 19th verse to launch into that thought. Verse 19, "He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Now, I'm going to call the message tonight, "Putting the Past in the Past." Putting the past in the past. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great promise. I am so thankful that way back in October of 1970, when I got on my knees down in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, and asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sin, I am thankful that you did just that. All my sins, past, present, future, all my sins, forgiven, gone, cast to the depths of the sea. And Father, it's a comforting thought to know that now in 2017, I don't have to ever worry or fear that the day will come when you will pull all those sins out and hold them over my head. They're forgotten about. They are forgiven and they are gone. And Father, thank you for that wonderful, wonderful blessing. And I pray you will help us tonight to see the point, to understand the scriptures. And as we tie story with story, I pray that you will make it clear and help us to put the past in the past, and to live in the victory and the joy of sins forgiven in the present. So, Lord, bless the message tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak on a subject tonight that I hope and I pray will be as much of a blessing to you as it was for me as I was preparing the message. I got something out of it, and I hope that you will as well. In all the years that I have been in the ministry, I have met and counseled with a lot of people who were having a difficult time, a hard time, with their present situation, their present circumstances. Now, usually, I have no problem advising folks on the present because, I have a Bible. And I can take the Bible, and it's always a good roadmap to help folks to know how to live. I can just take you to the Bible and show you from the Bible, and it's real easy to just take the Bible and encourage folks to do the right thing. And that always seems to work if folks are willing to listen to what the Bible has to say. And then there are some folks through the years that have come to see me, and they worry about the future. They worry about the future. And when that individual comes and is seeking advice and counsel, I then take them to the multitude of verses in the Bible that encourage us to live by faith, to not sit around and fret and worry about what has not even happened yet. And yet a lot of folks worry about what hasn't even happened yet. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended you to have. God never intended for us to sit around and worry about things. But truth of the matter is, we all do, don't we? And but we need to learn to live by faith. What did a little chorus writer say? Well, he said, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll make a way. That's so simple. And yet there are just a lot of people who spend their whole day, all the present, worrying about the future and worrying about tomorrow, even though they cannot impact tomorrow one iota with all of their worry. But then there are multitudes of people who face the worst foe possible. And the worst foe possible is not the present and it's not the future. The worst foe possible is the past. And because they dwell and live there, the past becomes a dreadful present for them. Their whole world is just consumed with the past. And the past becomes their present. And it just consumes and it just devours in most cases. Now, I just read for you in verse 19 where the prophet Micah says that God takes our sins and cast them into the bottom of the sea. The verse that I was going to read to you is Isaiah 1:18. And in that verse of scripture, the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. In other words, the stain is gone. It's gone. Your sins are gone. Because so many people live and dwell in the past becomes this dreaded presence, present for in their lives. The past has a power in it to become a haunting and an abiding present. And it can control your life. But what's the Bible say? The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. In Isaiah 55, the prophet said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Man, it's good to know that God pardons and our sins are gone. They're just gone. If someone is pardoned, that means they're forgiven. It's as if they had never committed the crime once they are pardoned. And this theme just runs throughout the Bible. In Psalm 103, David said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Notice that, folks. He didn't say north and south. He said east and west. If you start here and go north, you'll go across the North Pole eventually, and then you will be headed south, right? And if you keep going, you'll eventually get to the South Pole, and then you'll be headed north. But if you start right here in Westminster and you go west, you are always going west as long as you keep going in the same direction. So our sins are not separated as far as the north is from the south. That would probably satisfy most of us. But God said our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Man, what a promise that is. The Apostle John, quoting the Lord Jesus, wrote these words. He said that the Lord said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." So regardless of how bad your past is, you can still get pardon and still get forgiveness. In Paul's letter to Timothy, in the first one that he wrote to Timothy, he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, of course, Paul wrote that before Pastor Ray came along, and that's why he could say that. All right, but he said that Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Then in Hebrews 8, we read these words. The writer there said that their sins, speaking of you and me, he said, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And there are a multitude of other verses that I could quote to you or read to you tonight from the Word of God, where God forgives us of our sins, and when He forgives, He forgets, and those sins are gone. You don't have to worry about them being dragged out and shown to you someday. You don't have to worry about there being a closet up in heaven somewhere where God just might, maybe one of these days, walk over and open a closet and throw a big bag of them out at your feet and say, "All right, what you got to say about that?" No, they're gone. They're gone. And the amazing thing found in all of these verses is that God forgives us of our sin when we ask for forgiveness. And yet, now listen to me, folks, yet we often have the hardest time forgiving ourselves. Why is that? Well, the Bible is full of radiant light shining God's mercy and God's grace and God's love all around us. God tells us that once our sin is forgiven, it's never going to be remembered against us again. But you see, the devil just comes along, and the devil keeps pounding us with our sin. He just keeps bringing it up to us, keeping us holding on to the past. Somewhere along the way, but do you remember that old house in your neighborhood when you were a little guy or a little gal growing up? And everybody in the community thought that that house was haunted. You remember that? Oh, we had one. Boy, nobody would go near that place on Halloween. No. Oh, no, we weren't going there. Everybody thought that was a haunted house. And usually it was some creepy old guy that lived there, you know. And the bushes were all grown up, and trees cast a haunting shadow upon the house. And all the kids in the neighborhood spoke about how they saw ghosts in the windows at night. You know how it all goes. Well, there are a lot of human souls that are just like these houses. They're haunted by the sins of the past, and they just simply cannot seem to let them go. Now, I've talked to folks through the years, I mean umpteen of them, just oodles of them. "Are you saved?" "Well, I hope I am." "Well, wait a minute. Did you trust Christ as your Savior?" "Well, yeah." "Well, did He save you?" "Well, you know, I hope He did." "Well, why wouldn't He?" "Well, you don't know what I've done." Really? You gonna let the devil beat you up with that? Let me help you here. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," what's the next word? "Be saved." Amen. Why are you letting the devil beat you up? Listen, what's your Bible say? Your Bible says that all of your sins are under the blood, completely forgiven and forgotten, cast into the depths of the sea, according to Micah here. Why in the world would you want to swim down there and get those old awful ugly things and bring them back? If He put them down there, leave them down there. and live in the victory of knowing that you've been forgiven. How complicated is that? But yet the devil just keeps beating us up with it. You can't really be saved doing that. You say, well, Pastor, I can understand how God could forgive my past sins, but how can God forgive my future sins? All right, let me help you with that. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, all of your sins were future. Right? So why in the world would you let the devil steal from you the joy of having your sins under the blood of Christ washed clean, forgiven, and forgotten about? Don't let him do that to you, folks. Now, let me show you some examples of what I'm saying out of the scriptures. Let's think for a moment. For 2 hours, if you'd let me, but I know there's ice cream out there. Let's think for a minute of how Jesus dealt with those troubled by their past. Folks, have you ever just stopped to think about some of these characters that got saved when they ran into Jesus in the Gospels? I mean, some of these guys, some of these gals, they were just horrible people, and they got saved. Now, let's just think about some of them for just a minute. There are many instances in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus dealt with folks and their past was dominating their present. Let me give you some examples. Let me remind you about a publican, a tax collector, a Jewish guy, but he was a traitor in the eyes of the Jews, because he was collecting taxes for the Romans. And the Lord actually heard this man praying in the temple one day. As a matter of fact, there were two of them there praying. One of them was a Pharisee, and the other was a publican. And the Pharisee stood there, Jesus said, that he stood there with his chest puffed out. And he had his garb on. I mean, he was dressed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet in all of his priestly garments. And he stood there wanting everybody to look at him. And instead of praying in his heart, he prayed out loud. And here's what he said. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Oh, how arrogant was that? And then he started defining some of these other men. He said extortioners and unjust and adulterers and or even this publican standing over here. He said, Lord, I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, what a wonderful spiritual giant he was. Don't you agree? I mean, just a model believer in the Lord. And you know, in all probability, most of his claims were probably 100% true. He probably did all of these things that he said he did, because he did them, felt that he was better than other men standing around him. But then the Lord told us about the prayer of the publican. And the Lord Jesus said that publican was standing afar off, and he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, folks, I think you can clearly see the distinction that the Lord was making between these two men. And then the Lord Jesus said, I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, he said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Now, whatever the publican's sins were, and I'm sure they were many, I have no doubt they were many, he was no longer troubled by them because he had made a full confession of his sins and had asked for and received great mercy from God. And brethren, I want you to know that the minute you got on your knees and you cried out to God and asked God to come and save your wretched soul, God reached down in love and mercy and grace, the same love, the same mercy, and the same grace that he gave to that publican that day. And just as he forgave that man's sins, he forgave yours as well. So don't let the devil beat you up with it. Let's look at another publican that met Jesus one day. Remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the name means pure. But boy, he was anything but pure, wasn't he? He was a publican in the strictest sense of the word. His sins and his transgressions against God and against his fellow Jews had certainly tainted and soiled his name. And these publicans, remember now, they're Jews. They were hired by the Romans to collect taxes. And the Romans didn't care how much they skimmed off the top as they were doing their IRS services. As long as the Romans got their money, they didn't care. And so some of these guys took great advantage of that, and they got as much off of their fellow countrymen as they could. And these Jewish tax collectors were despised by their fellow countrymen because they were helping the Romans, and they felt that they were stealing from their brethren in the process. In the eyes of the Jewish people, the scale was a child molester, rapist, and then you had the thief and the murderer, and then they bumped all them down one and put the publican up at the top of the list. I mean, they despised the publicans. They were considered to be the chief of sinners. But the Lord Jesus restored true to Zacchaeus's name and to Zacchaeus. You remember the story. He was just a short little fellow, and he climbed up in the sycamore tree so he could see as Jesus walked by. And Jesus stopped and called out to Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat at your house today." Well, Zacchaeus climbed down the tree and he took Jesus over to his house, and the Pharisees and the people all stood outside and watched as Jesus went to this sinner's house to eat. And it caused a fury of activity. Everybody was upset. They said, "How could Jesus eat at the house of such a horrible sinner?" But while Jesus was inside, something wonderful happened, didn't it? You remember? Oh, Zacchaeus got saved. Remember that? He trusted the Lord. And after he got saved, he was so thrilled and so happy. Now remember, this is Zacchaeus the thief. This is Zacchaeus the extortioner. This is Zacchaeus the man who had been stealing from his own people. And Zacchaeus, after he got saved, stood to his feet and he said, "I have an announcement." And I'll guarantee you all the murmuring that was going on out in the courtyard stopped when Zacchaeus got to his feet. And everybody was listening. And Zacchaeus made an announcement. And he said, "Lord, the half of my goods I'm going to sell and give to the poor." And he said, "If I have taken anything from any man," and folks, you can be sure he had, he said, "I will restore him fourfold." Now, his confession of sin and his repentance was genuine. And I say that because of the fruit that came when he stood and made this announcement. And the Lord Jesus then, after Zacchaeus sat down, and I'm sure everybody was out there just thrilled. They thought, man, I'm going to get some money back. But then the Lord Jesus stood to his feet. And the Lord Jesus said, I also have an announcement. And so everybody started listening again. And the Lord Jesus looked out at the Pharisees and the crowd that had gathered, then looked around the table where all the other Pharisees or publicans had gathered, and he made an announcement of his own. And he said, this day is salvation come to this house. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now let me ask you a question. Was there a time when you were lost? Yes, there was. But did you trust Jesus as your Savior? Yes, you did. And when you did, you, just like Zacchaeus, were forgiven of all your sin. Folks, don't let the devil rob you of that blessing. Don't let him steal it from you. The point is, the past no longer haunted Zacchaeus. Once he confessed his sin and repented before the Lord, his past sins were gone and he was glad of it. Man, it changed his life when he got saved. He wasn't living in the past anymore. He said, hey, if I've done you wrong, I'm going to make it right. From now on, new Zacchaeus. From now on, pure. I'm going to live up to my name. And I like to think he did. Let me give you another example. I'm going to give you three in one here. We're going to talk about three women here real quickly. Three women, all guilty of the same transgression that Jesus dealt with. First, there was that humiliated woman that was dragged, kicking and screaming before the Lord Jesus by the Pharisees. And they reminded him, once they threw her down into the dirt, they reminded him that Moses had said that an adulterer was to be stoned, and then wanted to know what he had to say about it. And after a moment of silence, during which the Lord Jesus knelt down to the ground to write on the ground as if he had not even heard what they were saying, he stood up and he said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And when all of her accusers, no doubt smitten with conscience, smitten with raging guilt, when all of her accusers had dropped their stones and walked away, Jesus turned to the woman and said to her, where are thine accusers? And she said, and he said, hath no man condemned thee? And she looked around and saw that everybody had left. And so with tears in her eyes, she said, no man, Lord. And the kind-hearted Savior said, listen to this now, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, her sin was forgiven her. And not only forgiven, but the power of sin was canceled. For Jesus said, go and sin no more. I have no doubt but what the hymn writer was thinking of this woman when he wrote, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood availed for me. And then there was, secondly, the bad Samaritan. You remember her in John 4? You know the story of the good Samaritan, right? Well, there was a Samaritan woman. And I'm going to call her the bad Samaritan. And she came to the well. Remember that? And Jesus got into a conversation with her. And finally, the Lord said, go, call thy husband and come hither. And oh, she threw up an immediate defense. And she said, oh, I have no husband. And Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In other words, you're just living with this guy. And again, smitten with conscience, she says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And you read the rest of the story. She got so excited, she left her water pot and ran back to the city and announced to everybody, come see a man who told me all things. And she brought the whole town of Samaria out to meet Jesus. While she was away, the disciples came up and they started saying, Lord, we got to get something to eat. It's getting late in the day. And the Lord looked out and he said, the fields are ripe already to harvest. You see, those Samaritans, they wore white linen and they had the linen cloths around their heads. And the Lord is standing at the well, looking out and seeing this whole city of men coming, all of them wearing white. And he said, the fields are white already unto harvest. We don't have time to eat. We got to lead all these folks to Jesus that are coming right here. Amen. Amen. But now let's get back to this woman. You see, she came to the well alone. Remember that? Middle of the day. She didn't want anybody to see her. Not the way she lived her life. She came weary. She came unhappy, all by herself. But she went away excited and full of hope. And she went into town and brought everybody out to see Jesus. Well, what happened to her? I'll tell you what happened to her. She tasted forgiveness. She got a drink from the fountain of the water of life, and that changed everything for her. She no longer was hindered and hampered by her past, but she now has a bright new hope for the future. Folks, the point is, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you got in your past. Listen, you come to Jesus, it's forgiven. Then there was a third woman, and I just got to mention her before I move on. It's obvious to me that this third woman I'm going to talk about had heard the Lord Jesus preach a message about repentance and forgiveness of sin, and it seems obvious to me that she had repented of hers. You say, well, Pastor, who are you talking about? I'm talking about that woman that brought that expensive alabaster box full of ointment. And she just burst right in, and she knelt down at the feet of our Savior, and she broke that thing open and poured that oil over top of his feet. And then she wept and cried and took her own hair and wiped the dirt off of his feet. Why didn't no sorry Pharisees offer to wipe his feet? Because they didn't know the Savior. That's why. They didn't know the Savior. But she did. And when she came in, she knelt down and wiped the tears off of our Lord's feet with her own hair. And when Simon the Pharisee complained and said that Jesus could not possibly be a prophet, why? How could this man be a prophet? Because he permitted this sinful woman to touch him. Jesus rebuked them all by saying, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. And then turning to the woman, he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And folks, the truth is, I could go on and on and on and give you example after example of people who came into contact with the Savior, who were gloriously saved by the grace and loving forgiveness of the Savior. And when they met Jesus, their lives were changed and changed forever. And changed so dramatically and so drastically that these people were never the same again. You see, their past was gone. It was forgiven. Their sins were gone. Joy and happiness replaced the despair and the sorrow that sin brings. And the point is, folks, we're all sinners. And we all need to understand that sin brings consequences. But I want you also to understand that faith brings consequences. And the consequences of faith is forgiveness. Then secondly, real quick. Here it is. All right. Now I've established the principle, but now let's apply it. Number two, you cannot do anything about the past, but you can make a better present. Amen. Now, you just can't do anything about the past. The past is the past. Probably now that you're saved, if you could go back and undo some of the bonehead things you did, you would do it. But you can't. You can't. What's done is done. But when you come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, it's granted. Let me give you a classic example of what the Lord does for us. Think for a minute about that thief that was crucified alongside of Christ. That poor fellow, man, when he was hanging on that cross, he realized, he understood that he was paying the wages for sin. He understood that. He realized that. He understood that he was guilty. He understood that he was getting what he deserved. And he threw himself, because he had no other place to go. So he threw himself on the mercy of God. And he prayed and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, folks, listen. Don't you think that fellow was thankful that his past was forgotten about right there? Don't you think he was thankful that his sins were forgiven, that they were gone? I do. Do you think for a minute that that thief walked through the gates of pearl, dragging his sins behind him, straining and pulling to somehow get them through the gate? No, they were forgiven. When he walked through those pearly gates, there was nothing holding him back. They were gone, all of them. And if the Lord can forgive him, can he not forgive you as well? That man walked through the gates with no baggage. Why? Because when we are saved, we are forgiven. All of our sins and all of our iniquities are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. One more thing. Go over to Matthew 9 real quick. Matthew 9. Let me read you just one verse. Matthew 9. Well, more than one verse. Look at verse 1. And he entered into a ship. I'm going to start. You catch up. Matthew 9. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Wow. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Thy sins be, what's the next word?
Forgiven.
Forgiven. I wonder what forgiven means. Oh, okay. Are you sure about that? Well, why in the world do you all want to let the devil rob you of that great word? Have you been saved?
Amen.
Amen? Then you've been forgiven, right? And Jesus, verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he turned and said to the sick of the palsy, watch this now, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. There was a preacher, I'll close this illustration and tie it into this story. There was a preacher back in the 1800s, and his name was Joseph Ford Newton. Joseph Ford Newton said that he knew a man. He used to tell this illustration. He used to tell this story. And he said that he knew a man who wandered through the countryside over in England, who was just full of guilt and despair over the mess that he had made of his life through sin. And as he was walking and contemplating his spiritual condition, and the devil was just beaten him to death with his sin, he sat down under a hedge of trees to rest for just a moment. And on the other side of the hedge were two girls talking amongst themselves. And they were speaking about a sermon that they had heard in church the Sunday before, and what a blessing it had been to their hearts. And one of the girls said, "I heard the preacher say something recently that has stuck in my heart and has blessed me beyond anything I've ever heard before." And the other girl said, "Well, what was that? What did he say?" And the girl replied that the preacher said this. The preacher said, "The world will always look at you and say, 'You made your bed, now sleep in it.' But one greater than the world has said, 'Take up thy bed and walk. Thy sins be forgiven.'" Hey, folks, it's time to get up and start doing something for God. Your sins have been forgiven. It's time to rise up and serve. You've been forgiven. You're on the Lord's team. When the despairing man on the other side of that hedge heard what that girl had said, he instantly jumped to his feet and realized the truth in that statement. And he said, just like that, the shadow was lifted off of his soul. Listen, to every soul in this room troubled by the past, the Lord Jesus says to you, take up your bed and walk. Thy sins be forgiven. Oh, the world says, hey, you made your bed, now sleep in it. But Jesus said, no, take up your bed and walk. You've been saved. You've been forgiven. Get up. Get up and do something for God. Don't just sit around and let the devil keep knocking you down and holding you there. Serve the Lord.